So we're going to move into a time of testimonies. This is always exciting. We all have a story that God's weaving in our lives, and this is an opportunity where we get to hear some stories and how God has worked and moved. Each one of us should have our testimony ready at any moment, and I'm going to refer to a scripture. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm just going to go to verse 14 and 15, and it says, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled." And then here's where it really speaks to the testimony. "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do so with gentleness and respect." That scripture, we're not going to preach on that this morning, but it's loaded. I mean, just from the idea of our testimony is our example that we live out every day. And so to live with integrity and to live in a way that shows and points to Jesus, that's your testimony. You also have a testimony verbally. And that testimony might look like what you look like before you met Jesus, how you met Jesus, and what you look like now, that transformation process. And so that is our testimony. And then often God calls us to share our testimony of where we are right now, what God is doing and how we see him working and moving in our lives today. Each of us should have that on our hearts and be ready to share that. And so we have five brave individuals that are courageously going to share their testimony. And so I'm going to invite Caitlin to come on up. This is Caitlin Anderson, and she's going to share her testimony with us. Thank you, Caitlin.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Caitlin. So when I was 16 years old, I was diagnosed with two different conditions. One was mitral valve prolapse, so my heart valve was actually leaking. The second one was called POTS, which essentially just means that every time I would stand up from sitting or lying down, my heart rate would increase and my blood pressure would drop, and that would cause me to pass out. I was started on medications to manage the symptoms for both of those, which I had high heart rate, chest tightness, palpitations, and then fainting. In 2020, I had COVID. After this, my symptoms became unmanageable with the medications that I was taking. I was taking two different medications, and I got to the point of being maxed out on my beta blocker that I was on. I was struggling daily. I couldn't be in the heat too long or I would pass out. I had swelling in my legs. My resting heart rate was in the 120s. I had to carry salt packets with me to eat in case I felt an episode coming on so I could prevent myself from passing out. I also had to start taking monthly injections for my asthma because my airways were so inflamed from COVID that my inhalers were no longer working. It was an exhausting journey filled with discomfort, uncertainty, and many difficult days. Also during this time, I was going through other hardships that were causing me to drift away from my faith, and I felt like this was a punishment for the things in my past. Daily, I would ask for a sign that God was still there and had not abandoned me. My family, friends, church members, families, church members all continued to pray for me and pray for a breakthrough. I was exhausted and just hoping for a medication combination that would control my symptoms so I could go back to doing the things I enjoyed and not be so exhausted. I may have drifted some from my faith, but I still trusted in God that he had a plan. I kept asking daily for a sign that he was with me still and would get me through. After about a year of having COVID, my symptoms calmed down some, and they had me on a medication that was not approved in the United States for use in adults with my condition. After about 2 years, I got a new job, and with that came new health insurance, which would not cover this medication. I again started to question my faith and was crying out to God for another sign. My family and friends and church community never gave up on praying. I then started feeling better over the next few months, and then again started experiencing symptoms, but this time they were ones I didn't have before. My heart rate was actually dropping too low. I was feeling very discouraged, but I held on to the little hope that I had, and I leaned on my support system for strength. I went into my cardio appointment, and they decided they were going to do an echo to ensure there was nothing else going on and that my valve had not gotten worse. About 2 weeks after getting this test, I received a phone call from the doctor. He started the call off by saying, "Are you a woman of faith? If not, you should be." He had other cardiologists in the office review and compare my echo to my previous echo, as well as he was in disbelief. My heart valve was completely healed. There was no sign of leaking or any abnormality. They said there was no medical explanation for how this happened. I told them I knew exactly how it happened because my God is stronger than any ailment or defect. Over the next few weeks, they weaned me off of the medication I'd been taking for over 10 years. Today, I've been medication-free and symptom-free for over a year and a half. Actually, over the weekend, I got to help coach tournaments for my niece, and I was able to like run with them and everything, and I had no symptoms. It was hot, wasn't any swelling, didn't feel like I was gonna pass out, nothing at all. They said there was no medical explanation. I'm able to run again, be in the heat, play, no symptoms, no heart racing, palpitations, fatigue, swelling. I asked for a sign, and he gave me a miracle. I give all the glory to God. He heard my cry and my family and friends' prayers and got me through the hardest days and brought me healing. This testimony is a reminder that God is faithful. He answers prayers and nothing is impossible to him to fix. No sickness or wound or disease is stronger than him. What man couldn't fix, he healed. I am a living testimony that God can heal you and that he hears you when you cry out. You just have to hand it all over to him and put your trust in him to get you through it.
Hannah Bennett.
Good morning, church. So my name is Hannah Bennett, and it's been on my heart to share my testimony. And this is my everyday walk with God, so there's nothing extraordinary in the story. It's just how God has taught me obedience, trust, and listening to him through little heart nudges. So first, I want to start off with prayer. Dear God, I pray that this testimony will be used for your glory. Amen. So I want to set the scene by taking you back to spring of 2024. So I was graduating. I just graduated, and my husband had just graduated. He was my boyfriend then. He had went to Altman College for X-ray, to be an X-ray tech, and I went to Walsh with a political science and pre-law degree. So we were about to get engaged, and I was choosing, should I go to law school, should I not? And during this time, to go to law school, you have to take the entrance exam. It's the LSAT test. I had taken it 3 times. I had gotten the lowest score on the test, even though I had been studying a lot for it. So because I had such a low score, I didn't have a scholarship from the school to go, but I had this like heart nudge from God that I needed to go. So I was wrestling with, do I go to school, or this is a big time and financial commitment, and am I okay with this? And through this, I couldn't really see the vision. I felt the call and the heart nudge, but I couldn't really understand why God was calling me to this. So I felt like I couldn't see the vision, and so that was like really hard for me. So in that, God revealed a familiar story in a new light, and that was Genesis 6. This is when God told Noah to build the ark. So the exact time it took Noah to build the ark is unknown. So when God called him to build the ark, he was 500 years old, and he was 600 years old when the floods came. So there was 100 years that Noah didn't know if the water was coming, and he was just building the boat. And so I thought, well, if Noah can wait for 100 years to see the vision and the call, surely I can wait 3 years or however long God called me to go to school. And so if Noah could just keep trusting and building the boat, then I could do that too. And so that summer, I made a sign and put it over my desk that said, I'll build a boat, so let it rain, which is a familiar song by Colton Dixon. So this is where God taught me obedience and just go where he calls me to be. So fast forward, I'm going to school that fall at Akron University. We're newly married. Ashton was on evenings working at Altman Hospital. I was on days going to school. I had numerous infections which, if you know me, I have been super healthy most of my life. So for me to have all these infections and health problems just starting school, it was a pretty big deal for me. But the entire time God was walking with us, we were working hard for him, and I had just started that spring, I then started a job at a law firm, So I was balancing school and working at the law firm. So fast forward a year and a half, so this past December, after lots of prayer, we were thrilled to find out my husband and I were expecting. So when the first semester nausea hit, it was really tough. Ashton and I had been in a routine where we just went to work, I went to school, we did kind of our own working things. So I was working between 55 and 60 hours a week between the law firm and at school. So when the nausea came, I was really sick. I was throwing up almost every day. And so that was tough. That was about a month and a half. And as most of you know, life doesn't just stop when you're pregnant. So I prayed to God asking, how am I going to get through this? Because every day was a challenge. I'd make food and then throw it up the next day, so then I wouldn't want it for the next day. And so I asked God and I prayed, how am I going to make this through? And he revealed to me Exodus 16:11-12 and 19-21. So I encourage you to read those verses on your own. But that story is another familiar story. Right after the Israelites escaped Pharaoh, they crossed the Red Sea and were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. So this was right when they were entering the wilderness. In those verses, the Lord made clear that he would provide enough manna for that day. They had to trust that he would provide it for the next day. And if they took too much for one day, it would spoil the next day. And so in that, I felt like God was telling me, I will provide enough for you for this day. And don't worry about the next day, because I will provide for you for that next day when it comes. And so it led me to Matthew 6:34, which says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And so in this, the Lord was asking me to trust him and that he would bless this. And part of that blessing that I want to share, going back to having the lowest score on the LSAT and barely scraping into law school and stuff, I say this to say the Lord has blessed in obedience. This is not me, but this is the Lord through me. He's blessed my grades. He's blessed my success at work. I work at the prosecutor's office. I also work at a law firm up in Green, and he's just really blessed that. I've even gotten the top grade score on one of my class exams this semester, and then he's also blessed our marriage, so that's a part of it. So in the next season, the Lord has been preparing Ashton and I to be parents. I'm not exactly sure what this will look like, but the Lord has put it on my heart to pursue and put my family first before my career. Again, not sure what that will look like, because he called me to go to law school, and now he's calling me to be a mom. I've clung to this verse that I want to leave with you on this journey. It is a verse every day I pray before I enter the law office and every time I have a big test, and that's Psalm 127:1-3. And this verse says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives his beloved sleep. Thank you.
All right. Let's do this. I'm Dylan. Hello, everybody. I don't have a extraordinary come to Jesus story. My parents were wonderful parents. I grew up in the church. I'm a Christian now. But what I do have to share with you is just a testimony about how God is working in my life now, and how he's continuing to change me even after I've been saved. And there's a lot of things that I could talk to you about this morning. There's a lot of ways that I've grown. But what I want to share with you specifically this morning is what it is that I have learned about peace and contentment. Just being peaceful in life through all the seasons, being content no matter where we are. You know, I think of the Apostle Paul when I say that, you know, that he learned to be peaceful and content wherever he is, you know, and I want that for myself. You know, I want to learn to be peaceful wherever I am, and God has been teaching me that, and so I'm going to share with you a little bit about that this morning. So my story, or my journey to learn to be at peace, probably most notably starts about a year ago, maybe a little less than that. I married the love of my life, Dina. She is a wonderful blessing. We've been blessed. So I moved up here, and so my home place is about 2.5 hours from here. And so there were a lot of things that I had to give up in order to do that, you know. I had to give up friend groups that I spent time with every week. I had to give up organizations that I was a part of, community ties. You know, it was difficult. And I don't say that to try to, have you pity me. I say that to illustrate everything that I was involved in. You know, life was busy, and I had made it that way. And so then I move up here, and all of a sudden, I've got nothing to do. I've got, you know, I'm in this new place. I don't hardly know anybody. I don't hardly have any friends to spend time with. I don't hardly have any organizations that I'm a part of, no obligations, nothing. It's weird, you know. I have nothing to do. And that was a teachable moment. And it was in that moment that I realized that everything that I had involved myself with in my life, everything that I had... There we go. Everything that I had involved myself with in life up to that point was a choice that I had made, you know, and I'm going through life and I'm like, man, things are just so busy. You know, I don't have time to do anything. And I was not at peace, you know. But coming up here and then all of a sudden I'm in this place in life where I have nothing to do, I realized that the reason that I felt discontent, the reason that I felt that in my previous life that I was so busy that I never had time to relax or focus on my relationship with God was because of choices that I had made to fill up my schedule. It wasn't random. Yeah, my schedule wasn't just randomly chock full of things. It was my own choice to make it that way. And so fast forward to now, life is, you know, back in full swing again. You know, I've got friends that I spend time with. I have organizations that I'm a part of, you know, commitments, obligations, but things are different now. You know, having that experience was really beneficial because it helped me to realize my own agency that I have to choose to be at peace wherever I am. You know, just to come to that realization that, you know, no matter where I am at life, like I have that choice to be at peace. I have that choice. It's me that is making myself busy, that is causing myself to, you know, not come to discipleship group on a Wednesday night. You know, if I come home from work and I'm like, oh, you know, I just feel really busy right now. Maybe I just need a personal evening. It's like, well, you know, the other two evenings, Monday and Tuesday, like I was out hanging out with friends or whatever, you know, like that was my choice. I didn't have to do that. I could have used those days to relax so that I could come, you know, fellowship with my brothers and sisters on Wednesday night. You know, just an example to illustrate the continued, you know, struggle. It's not like everything's just plain and simple and easy now. It's not like, oh, I can just choose peace whenever I want, and I've just mastered that now. That's not how it works, you know. Like the other day, it was probably a month ago now, I come home from work, and I catch myself in a full dead sprint to run to the mailbox to get the mail, and I, like, stop halfway, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? Like, there's nothing in that mailbox that is worth me sprinting that quick to get there. Like, why am I running? Nobody is chasing me, you know? That That's been kind of a favorite phrase of mine recently because it illustrates the point well to me. You know, stop running. Nobody is chasing you. I think I saw it on social media or something, but it's true for me. I like it. And, you know, so then I did. I stopped and I just, I walked, you know, crazy. And, you know, maybe I needed that. You know, maybe I needed to take that moment just to relax, to think, to pray, to enjoy the nature that I'm surrounded with, you know, the evidence of God's creation. And so, you know, I don't say this to say that I'm a master at this, but, you know, going forward from having that experience, I've developed a better sense. God has taught me how to catch myself when I start to let things run away with themselves and to choose to be at peace. Even during the busy seasons. And there's just a couple of verses here that I want to share with you. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace." And that speaks to me. You know, I'm not supposed to be busy and stressed and overwhelmed in life. You know, I am called to be at peace, and so that's something I should strive for. Romans 15:13 says, "I pray that God," this is Paul writing to the Roman church, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." He says that God will fill you with joy and peace because you trust. And I think that ties really well into what Hannah just shared with us. That was wonderful, you know, about trust. And, you know, I have learned that there is this relationship between peace and trust. You know, this scripture illustrates well to me that the peace is a product of the trust, that the more that you trust, the more that peace will be added into you. And I have observed it, you know, to be kind of a self-feeding, reoccurring relationship with that. You know, the more that you trust, the more that you're given peace, but also the greater peace you have, the greater space you have to increase your trust. And then continuing on down, you know, because of that, the peace that you have been given, you know, then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's something that I want, you know, and that is something that I have proven to be true through life, through this time of teaching that God has blessed me with, and I know that not everybody will experience, not everybody will have the opportunity to experience this in the same way that I did. Not everybody's going to have an opportunity to just uproot from everything they've ever known to come to this place of clarity and realize that they have that choice. And so I'm sharing this with you so that hopefully that my experience not only will serve to benefit me, but can also serve to benefit some of you as well. As a reminder for any of you who need to hear or remember that peace is a choice, even when life is busy. And if we do make that choice, then we will be rewarded with confident hope in our God and his plan for our lives.
Good morning. Okay, I'm nervous. So would you pray with me real quick? Dear Father, I pray that you would just use my words for your glory. Just help me to be steady with my voice and speak clearly. In your name I pray, amen. My name is Sadie Irby, and I get to share my testimony today. To quickly lay a foundation, I want to tell you a little bit about my family. My parents are both ordained pastors, so naturally, I grew up in a Christian home. I have two siblings, an older sister and a younger brother. They're both married to wonderful spouses, and they all serve in their churches and ministry in some capacity. I also have three beautiful nieces. I'm so blessed to have the family that I have. They've helped shape me into the person that I am today. I grew up watching and participating in a lot of ministry from a young age, and I knew that God gave me a gift to work with children. It's been evident in the ministry that God has called me to do. Just looking at my immediate family, I can see Romans 12, 4 through 5. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We have many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. It's really important for us to use each of our individual gifts in the church. If we all had the same gift, it wouldn't function the way it's supposed to. So many people have helped me have a solid foundation in my life. My parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and teachers in the church. My grandma and Grandpa Irby, they made a lasting impact on my life. My grandma showed me the importance of a powerful prayer life. And my grandpa, he had the fruits of the Spirit. You could see the bold and the gentle and the loving and the faithfulness, the self-control. When you talk to him, you could clearly see the evidence of Jesus. Sorry. My grandparents on both my dad's side and my mom's side taught me how to be a servant in the church. Whether that was praying for people, teaching Sunday school, or cleaning up after an event, stacking chairs. There's many different ways to serve in the church, and I'm thankful for the ways that they taught me how to do that. The obedience of the Lord, my parents, and the people who helped raise me formed the way that I would face the trials of my life. On my 18th birthday, I got engaged to my boyfriend of 3 years. My family loved him, and they backed our relationship fully. Although, in stereotypical pastor's kid fashion, I was living a double life of sorts. I was caving to my flesh and living in sin, but appearing to be perfect on the outside. And when you have that kind of double life deceit that you're building a relationship on, it's bound to crumble. Shame held me in that cycle, and I felt like I couldn't let my family or my church family see that I wasn't perfect. So at 19, I got married, and I chose to abandon my faith. I caved my flesh. My ex is in the military, so we moved to Germany. And that allowed me to stray further. I stopped going to church. I didn't talk to my family as much as I should have because I didn't want them to see the person I was. I didn't care to make friends or talk to people. I stayed in the house. I became a miserable person. So about a year later, we came back to Ohio for Christmas. And during that time, my family got news that my grandma, who had been battling ovarian cancer, was going to pass soon. So I stayed in Ohio, and I wanted to spend those last moments with her. During that time, I went to winter retreat as a chaperone with the Barberton Church of God, because that's where my dad was a pastor for 18 years. And God got a hold of me. He turned my life around. And when my grandma passed, she passed in mid-February, I knew I wanted to be a different person. And so when I got back to Germany, I started going to church. And you could see that I had changed. But my ex, he was not okay with that. And he didn't want to be married anymore. So I go through all the ups and downs of that. But long story short, after about 2 years, our divorce was final. Now, if you had asked teenage Sadie if divorce was a part of my testimony, I would have looked at you like you were crazy. That was never something on my radar. But God, He redeems like no other. God has been refining me for the past 7 years. At the beginning, I was mad because why didn't God redeem my marriage? But God never ordained a marriage that was built on deceit and sin. So for a long time, I would pray for my forever husband, but thinking, why would God give me a second chance? I was praying without hope. So one day, about a year ago, I was having a bad day, kind of angry, and I got home from work and I went on a prayer walk. I was walking around the neighborhood and I was just praying. And I asked God, I said, do you have someone for me? Do you have a forever husband for me? Or am I praying for a man that doesn't exist? And I praise Him for His kindness and His generosity. I heard from the Lord that He does have someone for me. And it has given me a deep hope that I've never had before. When asking the Lord for a promise of a husband, I was ready for Him to let me know that I would be living for a single for the rest of my life, and I was okay with that. He answered my prayers with more than I asked for. Revealing promises that draw me closer to Him, testing if I'll wait for the Lord's release of His plans instead of making them happen in my own impatience. Promises that allowed me to pray more specifically for the things He has for me. Now, I would love to give you a little bow on this story and tell you how it all ends, but I'm still working on it, still walking in it, still praying through it. God has blessed me with a small glimpse, though. I'm deepening my relationship with Jesus daily and learning to be a Christ-like wife before I even step into the promise He has for me. The Lord is preparing me because I want to bring the glory for Him. I want to build the people up with His kingdom, of the testimony He's given me. I want to be a good steward of the blessings that He has given me that I don't deserve. So in Matthew 25, it's the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, and it has taught me that's a parable about Jesus' coming in return, and it has taught me that even though what I'm doing right now is preparing for my groom, that I need to be preparing for Jesus' return. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Isn't God's grace amazing? Give God some praise. First, I want to pray, need His Holy Spirit to be here, because that's just the way I work. So, you guys, pray with me. Blessed be You, Lord God, Creator of the universe. Thank You for this day. Thank You for the talent You have given me. Thank You for this church. Thank You for You and everything good in my life. In Jesus' mighty precious name, I pray for those, this broken world, those that have lost and have no hope, Heavenly Father, let them realize there is hope in You. In Jesus' mighty precious name, I pray. Amen. So I'm going to play Amazing Grace, and if you feel free, sing, worship, whatever. So God gave me the talent to play, and I'm so thankful for that. I work at a place where it's kind of hazardous, of course. Anyways, November last year, I was wiring a motor down, and it fell on me. And it trapped my leg and ripped my back up on the turbos and all that and everything. And I was rescued by a guy on the forklift. He come by and got the motor off me. And I was thinking, praise God, I'm alive. So praise God. And everybody else is like, you okay? You okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I said, God's got my back. I'm fine. So all that happened was my knee got a little bit messed up. And then this year I was wrapping a motor and the shrink wrap gave way and I fell backwards and I fell on the floor and I hit a differential, which is a part for the motors and whatnot. And it messed my back up. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to heal. I don't care. I've been through a lot. I'll heal. God's been good to me. So it reminds me of Psalm 91 because everything I've been through, you only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place and the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague shall come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. That's Psalm 91. That definitely applies to my accidents that I've been having lately. So praise God, I'm alive. And I love God. I love Jesus. I love this church. Love you all. And I appreciate God's working in my life. So amen. Give him some praise.
We are so blessed to serve a living God that works in our lives, through our lives, and through each other. So